Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Look out. It's only films to be buried with. Rewind Classic. Hello, it's me, Brett Goldstein. I've taken a few weeks off to focus on some work. I hope that's okay. But in the meantime, I'm leaving you with these all-time favourite, classic, all-time top 10 most excellent episodes of Films to be Buried With. This week's Rewind Classic is with the brilliant Susan Wacoma. We recorded this a while back. She's fucking brilliant. She's so funny. This was such a great episode. I think you'll love it if you've never heard it before. And if you have heard it, you'll enjoy it again. In the meantime, everything you want for the show, all the extras, videos, secrets, other bits, and the whole of all the episodes ever, uncut and ad-free, are available at the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. Also, the very last episode of season one of Shrinking is happening this week on Apple TV Plus. If you haven't watched the show, after this week, you can watch the whole thing in one go. You can binge it. And episode two of Ted Lasso season three is going to be out this week on Apple TV Plus. So you can watch all of that over there. I hope that you're loving both. So that is it for now. I hope you're all well. Thank you for listening. And I very much hope you enjoy this Rewind Classic of Films to be Buried With.
Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is me, Brett Goldstein, and I'm joined today by an actor, a writer, an award winner, an Instagrammer, a Twitterer, a guilty feminist, a podcaster, a woman of the people, a saint amongst us that walks as if she's not one and keeps it under her hat, a legend, a superstar, and the greatest person currently on a Zoom. Please welcome to the show the brilliant Susie Wacoma.
Oh, it's only going to get better. You thought that was good? You wait till I start talking.
Just you wait. Thank you for doing this, Susie. It's lovely to see you.
Pleasure. Lovely to see you too.
I suppose we have to ask, how is your lockdown life? How is your pandemic life?
Ugh.
Bit of fun? Okay.
It's what it is, isn't it? Ugh, it's fine.
Have you
it's
done any acting in
yeah,
this
time? I've done like lots of voiceovers.
Right.
Loads, which has been lovely.
Okay.
I'm about to start filming in a couple of weeks. That's like my first like proper big chunk of filming, which will probably stop after a day.
Yeah.
COVID. Like,
do you...
Well, that's like with Batman, isn't it? Like they yeah. started shooting Batman. They were like, yeah, let's start. And then Robert Pattinson got Batman got COVID.
Yeah, it sort of undermines your superhero if your superhero gets COVID.
Yeah.
Have you been told, if you can tell us, if you're shooting in 2 weeks, have you been sent like a list of rules of things you're going to have to do? Or
well, I'm self-isolating right now. So we've got to self-isolate for 2 weeks before we start. And then basically we can sort like the actors, because we've got to like be in scenes together and stuff. And all of that. But like everyone else is like, they have to keep away from us. Apparently there's COVID police on set with like a measuring thing saying 2 meters, 2 meters.
No way.
That's a new job. That's a new job. Yeah.
COVID police.
COVID police. And
what are they going to do? Like poke you with a stick to move you back a bit?
I hope so.
So they don't come near you.
I hope so.
I hope so. That actually sounds quite fun.
Get away from Susan. I'm like, oh, go away. I'm poking for you. Love that.
I like that. That actually sounds all right. That's quite a good gig. Also, a good TV show, Corona Police?
COVID Police. I mean, it depends. You have to think about the life of the show. Like, how much can you kind of squeeze from it? Like, how long is this going to go on for? If this is forever, then you've got, what, 28 series there?
I reckon you've got 20. Well, because there's the sort of police camera action version where we're just filming Corona Police. But... And actually,
that's the one. I was thinking.
Forget the other one. That's the one.
It's the reality one. That's what you want.
And just you can do the voiceovers when you're isolating. Just John is poking Susan with a stick because he can see she's 30 centimeters over the line. I'd watch this show.
Would you watch it? I would actually. To be fair,
riddle me this.
Right.
Here's the truth. Hands in the air. Here's how I've known you. I've known you as an actor and I've known you on the podcast and being very funny and interesting. I didn't know until I did a little Google that you've got a series of sex tapes out.
Do you know what? When you said that, honestly, my heart went, oh my God.
They're out there.
It was going to happen. I've been waiting for the day that my publicist said, Susan, you need to come into the office.
Yeah.
But it's COVID. You need to come into the office. Yeah. There's pictures of your fanny everywhere. And I'm going to be like, show me. And then I'm going to show it to me and be like, that's my fanny. I just have to write a book.
That fanny checks out.
I'm proud of my fanny. That's what you... When your picture of your fanny goes out, when my picture of my fanny goes out, which it will, I have to like... That's going to then be my career. It's just like, proud of my fanny woman.
Yeah. So you're then going to start doing like speaking arrangements and stuff where you go...
With my fanny out. This is my fanny. Does it irk you? Well, then there's something wrong with you.
Yes. Oh, I like this show as well. I mean, this is a great pitch meeting so far. Yes, other than your... the quite abundant amount of sex tapes that are out there on the internet... I also discovered that you were in one of the writers on Sex Education, which I did not know.
I was in the writers' room.
Can you explain how that worked in an because it's an English? I've never understood. Is it an English show?
Yeah. So a writers' room is a very American thing.
Yeah.
They were so. This was for the second series, and the first series wasn't out yet. So it wasn't the big huge show that it is. We didn't know what it was.
Right.
And so they got a few of us in, largely comedians, actually, in the writer's room. And we just bashed out ideas for a month, really. And then a few of them got scripts and I didn't, which was like, okay, I know that I'm busy, but you could have asked that I could say no.
Yeah.
Very rude. But yeah, no, it was interesting. I mean, I enjoyed like the first bit of it because that was literally us going, and what if she comes in with like three heads? And then putting it up in the board. Yeah. What if she like? She comes in with a machine gun, she fucking just up, and all of that stuff. And then the second 2 weeks was like, okay, now seriously, no, we've got 8 episodes that we need to map out. And we're like, oh, maybe she goes to the shops. It was like that.
I see. That makes sense. How many of you were in the room? How many writers?
How many of us? There was me, Richard Gadd, Rizwan. Who else was there? It was like maybe 4 of us newbies and then Laurie, who's the creator, Sophie, who'd been on the show before. Yeah, so there was like maybe 8 of us in the room. It's quite intense. And it was above a sex shop on Oxford Street.
How was it?
Yeah.
For inspiration?
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's meant to be like, ooh, we're on top of a sex shop, we're writing about sex. And then about day 3, I was like, that should be a pret.
Just popping down for lunch. Does anyone need a dildo? I mean, it loses its appeal, isn't it? A sex shop after day 3.
It does, yeah. Especially if you're kind of like in the middle of town, you'd be like, ugh. But you know, last day I did go in. I can't remember what I got. I did get like something. Nipple tassels.
Oh, that's nice.
I think so.
Classy.
Actually.
That's a classy buy for the sex shop. What did she get? I wouldn't have predicted that.
What would you have predicted?
She got the old nipple tassels. I forget that that's an option.
Nips covered.
Fascinating. Because I've seen her Fanny Out tour and I realised.
How would she be shy of the nips?
Yeah. But it's a classy move. So, and the last question before we get on to the very serious business of your life in film.
Yeah.
What about the writing? So, because you made a short, you wrote a short, that won the awards? Won all the awards?
Oh, it won all the awards. I did a short with Sky, Sky comedy short. They just basically asked me, do you want to write something? I was like, how quickly will it get made? And they said, next week. And I went, all right, because I don't want to fuck around with this. Like, I know what short films can be like. Get it quick. Have you got the money? Yes. All right, fuck. Here's a fucking script. I didn't say that. I was very nice. It was very nice about it. And it's called Love the Sinner. And it's about my mum and her grieving for Princess Diana, which, if anybody is from the African diaspora, that's a thing. Like, my mum and all her friends, all these Nigerian women, were obsessed with Diana. Like,
really?
Yeah, my mum had this book which was like Diana's fashions, and it was just pictures of Diana like getting out of cars at like premieres. And I used to, I mean, my mum was angry about it, but I cut Diana out and they would put up my dolls of Diana. Like, Diana was the one. She was the one. So when she died, my mum was, there is like a trope of like African women being very loud and whatnot, which isn't necessarily true. But on the morning of Diana's death, my mum was screaming like on the floor, like, and it woke us kids up. We ran downstairs. We're like, mom, what? And bear in mind, I'm like 9, 10. I'm a child. And I run in and I look at the news and there's the graphic footage of like the car being pulled out. I'm like, fuck it. And I look at my mum and my mum is on the floor weeping, screaming, take me instead.
No.
That is verbatim. Us four kids were looking at her like, mum, and she was like, just take me, verbatim. And I just thought, even then, I was like, this needs to be documented. Hell yeah, that's the short.
Even then, looking at my mum wailing on the floor, I thought, this is funny.
This is good.
This is good stuff. This is some good stuff. Is your mum? Has she seen the short? She's still.
Yeah, she's seen the short. In fact, there's quite a few of the costumes that are her clothes. So I sort of went around to the old family house and we tried on lots of stuff, like stuff that I remember her wearing at like my little sister's 4th birthday and my birthday. It was really weird. She loved it. She basically was like, it's a documentary about me. I was like, yeah pretty much actually. Yeah.
It kind of is. Oh, Susie.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you something.
Oh, what?
Oh, fuck.
What? Oh,
I should have said it at the beginning. What? Maybe when I texted you. No. I'm just going to have to say it. I'm sorry, but I'll just say it. You died. Sorry.
I fucking knew it.
How did you die?
It was definitely choking.
Oh, yeah.
Something, yeah.
Do you know what I'm?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I was at Latitude Festival.
Yeah.
And I was getting in the spirit of stuff and I put a lot of glitter on my face. I like to do like one side, nice little pattern there. And as I was dancing to, I think it was Texas. Do you remember Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Charlene Buteri was giving it loudy on the stage. And the glitter melted down my face and into my mouth. And then, but I didn't think anything of it. Then I went back to my tent and I choked on my glitter, died alone.
Oh, God. When did this happen?
This happened last year.
I've
been there for a year, yeah.
God, and I'm sorry it's taken me this long to tell you.
I know.
We've both been very busy.
I had a feeling. Yeah. I was walking around like, I have a feeling. Something's like up. COVID started, no one called me. I was like, that's weird. And I was checking whether I'm all right.
Do you worry about death?
Nah, not really. Not really, because it's just going to happen, isn't it? I worry about the manner. I don't want it to be like something horrific that my family have to like think about. But I would like it to be funny. Like, right. Oh, but like not ha-ha, like you're in the church going whilst my body is, you know, kind of like she died doing what she loved. Oh, rather than she choked on cheese, which is so probable.
So hang on, you don't want a funny death, but you want it to be funny.
Yeah.
So not choking on cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like she died doing what she loved, eating cheese, and then got hit by a car.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, but yeah, so it's like, oh, sad, but she had cheese in her throat. I don't know.
Do you think there's an afterlife of some kind?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, man.
Right. Love it. Tell me.
Listen, we don't know, right? So people are like, there's absolutely nothing afterwards. I'm like, you don't fucking know that, mate.
Agreed.
You don't know that. You stupid little shit. Anything could be on the other side of this. And like, I've seen a ghost. So.
I'm afraid you're now going to have to tell that story. It would be remiss of me not to.
Do you know what? It's actually linked to the first couple of questions.
Okay. If it means that story's coming, I will. I will hold off.
Hold it.
But so you don't know, but you think that there's, in your head, do you think there's a heaven, we're energy, like what is it?
Ooh, I'm more an energy versus a god, but I think like this shit gets, I basically think in life, you're meant to like learn stuff, it's like Jedi school, you're meant to like learn all the shit, you're meant to be like upping your vibration, boo, 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 yeah. Then you die, right? There's loads of people who just don't do that because you're just too busy like scratching your balls and like just being a fucking dickhead on earth. So then you die and you haven't learned all the lessons. And if you haven't learned all the lessons, you're just going to keep doing this shit until you learn all the lessons. And the thing is, the things that you didn't learn before are just going to come. So when people are going to be like, oh my God, my life is so hard. It's like, yeah, because you didn't learn your lesson when you were in the Victorian era. All shit. And then sometimes you learn your lesson and then sometimes you don't learn your lessons. And then like, it just continues. But people who are like on a higher vibration, I feel like there's a point where they just like become a tree.
That's one of my favorite answers we've ever had.
I genuinely believe that.
No, I'm with you.
Like become a star or something. I don't know. Well, what, I don't know.
Where do you feel? I mean, you're on a pretty high vibration. What do you think? So. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a bit psychic.
Tell me everything.
That relates to another story.
Oh, great. Oh, this is going to be great. All right. Well, yeah, listen, no, I'm a bit let's psychic. Get to it then, because I want to hear all this shit.
Those weren't segues that I pre-planned. I just am psychic and there's something that comes. But I didn't plan that.
I know what you're going to ask me. So, because I sent you the questions. No, because I'm psychic.
Yeah, you sent me the questions, right? No?
What?
This is off the cuff.
What? Okay, here's the thing. There is a heaven as well. You pause there for a bit before you head back to learn more lessons, right? Cool. And in this heaven, everyone wants to talk about this life, not the TV show. They want to talk about your life. They want to know about your life through films.
Yeah.
And the first thing they ask you is, what's the first film you remember seeing, Susie Wickheimer?
A film called Aneka, The Pretty Serpent. Hold up. It's a Nollywood film. And it was like huge in the early 90s, like huge, like probably one of the first, if no one knows what Nollywood is, it's Nigerian Hollywood, Nigerian films. And my mum was in our front room with some girlfriends and they were watching this film. And I came in like that, exactly like that. And I saw, the image that I saw was this woman who like became a snake. No, she became a cat. And I had no context. No one was worried about the child in the room.
Right.
So yeah, that was the first bit of movie I ever saw.
A woman becoming a cat.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I must have been about maybe six.
Where was this happening?
This was in when we lived in Camberwell in our front room.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Camberwell. You got? Can I ask? You got brothers and sisters? All that?
Yeah, I've got. Older sister, older brother, little sister. So four of us.
Okay. All close?
Yeah, we're close in age. I'm really close to my little sister because she's cool. And she thinks I'm cool because I'm older, but the other two, because I'm younger, they think I'm a dickhead. But she thinks it's very, very exciting, so she can stay.
Yeah, okay, cool. That's good to know. So you saw a cat, a woman turn into a cat, and did you think, this is my future?
Nah, I was like, oh. That, like, genuinely, I remember just going, oh. I felt concerned. I was a very concerned child. They say Capricorns, which I am, they age backwards. So you come out the womb, like, I'm very concerned about this.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, you just become a fucking clown, which is exactly what's happening with me.
That's amazing.
I walked in and I saw the screen and I just was very concerned.
For the woman. Because
it was freaking me out. And also it was very, it's 90s graphics and special effects, which is terrible.
What's the show you do with Matt Berry?
Year of the Rabbit.
I thought it was Year of the Cat. For a second I was like, it's Year of the Cat. You turned into it. If she turned into a rabbit, that would have been great, but
that would have been
a different story. Yeah. Fascinating. What is the film that scared you the most? He rubs his hands together.
Well, I am afraid it is Aneka, the Pretty Serpent.
Two hits for Aneka, the Pretty Serpent. By the way, Pretty Serpent, who turns into a cat. Where's the serpent bit? Where's the Pretty Serpent?
I know. This is what I don't remember. So the premise of the film is that it's this woman, she's a mermaid, and she is disguised as a human, and her mission on Earth is to go after married men. This is a very nice, like, okay, so Nigerian films, they've got, I mean, they've evolved now, but definitely in the 90s, they had like a few subjects, like themes. And one was witchcraft. Mm-hmm. One was women taking married men. And then the other ones were witches taking married men. And that was it. That was what the stories were. And so this woman was like a mermaid and she was like going after married men. And it shitted me up so badly that I developed nightmares for a year and developed sleep paralysis.
Oh, wow.
As a result of watching this film. Because I was stood at the door and my mum and her friends didn't see me. So I watched a lot of it.
Oh, shit. Do you still have sleep paralysis?
I still have sleep paralysis, yeah.
I have that.
Horrible. Oh!
Horrible.
Yeah, that's when I've I don't know. It comes and goes and I haven't had it for a while. But imagine being a child.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Yeah. Did you imagine a cat woman sat on your chest?
I did imagine a cat at the end of my bed.
Yeah.
And it would sort of just look at me and then it would crawl up and then it would disappear like into my belly. So it would go like walk, 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 and then it would go like that. And I thought it was like, I thought I was pregnant. There was a lot of things going on as a child. I thought I was pregnant with the cat.
Cats.
Yeah. Yeah, dark stuff. You can watch it. It's like on YouTube, this film.
I like the sound of it. So do you like being scared? You don't like being scared?
I sort of do. I hate it, but I love it. I love the build up to it. And then when it happens, I fucking hate it. And then afterwards, I'm like, I survived. I do quite like it.
What is the film that made you cry the most? And are you a crier?
Daniel Blake.
Daniel Blake.
Daniel Blake. The end credit, after the end, I won't ruin it for anyone, but I sat in the cinema and I cried so heavily. Number one, I got a nosebleed.
No.
Yeah. And number two, the woman sat in the row ahead of me, came around, sat next to me and gave me a hug.
That's so sweet.
I was inconsolable.
Were you on your own?
Yeah, I was on my own.
Oh, beautiful.
And I think one of the things was I didn't expect to get that emotional. Like when I was watching, when I see those kind of films that are very kind of gritty and very realistic, there's a bit of me that's a little bit on the defense of it, just because I am working class. And sometimes when I've watched films like that, I'm a bit like, really? Blah.
Yeah.
You're not going to make me cry. Man, this film, and I was like strong for like most of it. I was like, yeah, I know this happens. This has happened to neighbours and friends of mine. I know, you're not preaching to me. I know. And then by the end, I was done. Yeah.
That is a totally legit answer. But I do have to point out that we're three questions in and you still haven't told me where this ghost comes. Do you promise this ghost story is coming?
Okay, no, I have to tell you the ghost story.
Okay, good.
Oh, I didn't say, yeah. Okay, the ghost story.
Because I assumed it was in the scary movie bit, but that was...
Oh, it was, and I forgot.
Oh, okay, thank God I checked.
Because there's quite a few during that period.
I'll take all of it.
Okay, all right. The scary story. I was in bed, and I used to share a bunk bed with my older brother, who's like a year and a half older than me. So mm-hmm. we were like kids. And he was on the top bunk, I was on the bottom bunk, and he was talking to me, like we would tell each other stories and stuff, like nothing scary. And he was talking to me, and all I could see at the end of the bed, so the bunk bed, was this head appear upside down, like that, with my hand, like that. And it had fangs and blood trickling down the fangs. So the blood, there was like a trail of blood going across the eyes, upside down.
What?
Just staring at me at the bottom of the bunk. Because when I get scared, well, when I was a kid, when I got scared, I'd just go silent. And then my brother was talking and I said to him, I was like, are you looking at me over the bed right now? And then he popped his head down to the side here and he went, no, I'm not. And I looked at the end of the bed and it was still fucking there.
Oh, that's giving me a shiver.
No, so give me a shiver.
Did your brother see?
No, he just literally popped his head. He's like, no, I'm here. And I went, okay. That's my information.
What was that?
I don't know. But like, what would happen? Like with sleep paralysis, you can sometimes like see things, hallucinations. So I'm guessing it was that. But that, out of all of them, that was the most real and vivid. Like to this day, I can see it. Before, like all the other ones were like shapes and like a black sort of mist thing. But that one was like a face and fangs and the blood. Yeah.
It's unusual that you get vampires in ghost stories.
I know, yeah.
And I like that.
Breaking boundaries there.
Mixing genres, and I love it. Shall I tell you a little ghost story that I read?
Yes, please.
This fucking scary. So I read the book Conversations with Mark Frost. Mark Frost is the guy who, with David Lynch, made Twin Peaks. Huge fan. Anyway, this book is just a million, you know, interviews with him. And the guy's asking him, like, are you, you know, what do you think about spiritual stuff? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he says, one day we did a Ouija board when he was working in a theater in somewhere in America. And he said, him and the crew one night at midnight decided to do a Ouija board on the empty stage. And he says, the thing started moving around. He said, look, you can tell me whatever explanation you want, but the thing fucking moved at pace around and none of us were controlling it. And there had been this kid who had worked as an usher in the place who'd hung himself in the place. And they'd always, because it was the only place that he'd felt he belonged or something.
Yeah.
This was like 5 years ago, something like that. So they say, what's your name? And the thing spells out that kid's name. And they say, where are you? And he says, he spells out T-O-P, top, but there is another stage space around the corner that is called the other place, T-O-P. So they say, do you mean the other place? And he says, no. And then they hear running across the rafters above their head and they fucking run.
Oh my God.
I mean, I'm scared myself telling that again.
Well, oh my God.
That's nah,
I would have wet myself. Yeah. I would have wet myself and started crying.
And he said, I don't know what it was, but I'll never do a Ouija board again. I don't think you should dabble with that stuff.
I think we tried to do one as kids, but we were like, we weren't taking it seriously. But I genuinely wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. I don't want to invite, because look, I'm 32. Then say, I'm 32. Say I do a Ouija board, like when things are all a bit better, when I'm 33. Then that's the rest of my life. I'm dealing with this fucking ghost that's like,
you're being haunted by a demon, yeah, for the rest of your life. That's the rest of your life, isn't it?
That is the rest. If you're doing it, if you're dabbling in your 30s, you're fucked.
Well, have you seen the film Host, the Zoom horror film? Ah.
What?
Oh, you've got to watch it. I assume everyone's seen it, but they haven't. Go on your Amazon and go to Shudder and watch the film called Host, which is a Zoom, and it sounds like it's going to be boring, but it's not. It's a Zoom.
Oh, no.
And they do a seance on the Zoom, and then
I did have a thing. I watched over Zoom with two friends. I watched Don't Fuck With Cats.
Oh, yeah.
And that, it wasn't what I thought it was. It ended up being about this proper psychopath murderer. Mm. We watched it at night, and I kept, so I'd be watching it on like one screen and then look at my friend's screen, and I just kept imagining like somebody behind them as they're watching it, just like fucking cutting off their neck or something.
Yeah.
Like, so there was two horror films going on at the same time. I was, oh, I was stressed. I had to burn sage. I had to burn sage in my whole room. I was like, bye guys, oh, that was so fun, bye. Speak to you later. Like,
oh, I love it. Love it. Are you alone, living alone?
Yeah, I'm living alone. That's why I'm
right, yeah,
out all the time.
Yeah, terrible. Terribly terrible to watch horror films and then have to. But anyway, we'll move on. What is the film that you love? You love it. Most people don't like it. It's critically not acclaimed, but you don't give a shit. You're like, this film's fucking brilliant.
Burlesque.
Wait a second. Burlesque is the one. Who's the lead in that?
Christina Aguilera.
It's Christina Aguilera's film.
And Cher.
That's right. Two titans, one film. Tell me about Burlesque. I have to, hands up, have not seen Burlesque. Would you believe it?
You should carve some time out to watch Burlesque. It's about this girl who's meant to be mousy, but she's Christina Aguilera. And she just wants to be a singing star. And so she turns up to this burlesque club in the middle of nowhere. And then she wants to get on stage and be a singer. But they're not about that at the burlesque club. They're about dancing. And so she starts off, I think she's called Ali. You know, one of those American right. names. It's like, I'm a mouse. And then she's like serving drinks. And Cher's like, I'm Cher. And she's like, I want to be like Cher. And then Stanley Tucci.
Love him.
He's in it. He's there like doing costumes going, you know, Stanley Tucci right. when he does that. And then eventually she gets on the stage by way of this boy that she fancies. They fall in love and then she starts singing. And then there's a song in it that she released. The thing that I love about it is the kind of small town girl makes it big star thing, which is just brilliant. The soft focus. You've never seen softer light on it. It's like someone just got Vaseline and just went, I don't need to see anything. Like, it's almost like they're trying to hide the film from you. Like, don't really see it.
That's great.
You know, cross your eyes like that.
Like magic eye.
It's what they do. It's That's what they're doing. They're like, don't see it really. And then you've got the other thing that I love about it is whoever edited it was on crack. Because there are scenes that just go, like, one person's talking and it will cut from that person to that person to that person and then it's over. You're like, why are you rushing? Why are you rushing me? The edit is a thing of, I've never seen just like that. Someone's talking, the camera's gone there. We don't care about you. It's come back to you. Then it's next scene. I'm like, I'm very stressful. The edit is amazing.
I really will watch that film now. You've sold it completely. It sounds right up my street.
When you watch it, you will know what I mean by the edit. Okay. You'll know what I mean.
Love it. What is the film that you used to love? You loved it, but then you've watched it recently and you've gone, oh no, this doesn't hold up for me, for whatever reason that may be.
This one makes me really sad because I put it on recently, remembering the feeling that I had when I watched it before. And I watched it a few times before, loved it. And I wanted to feel like, I was feeling a bit down. I was like, this is gonna pick me up.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I was like, this has not aged well. In Bruges.
Go on. Talk to me. Okay. I got issues.
Do you?
Always had issues with that one.
Well, I saw it when I was in, I think it was in sixth form. I think I bunked off a class because I wanted to go to the cinema. And I saw it and I loved it. I fell in love with Bruges. I was like, where is this magical place? Fell in love with it. To the point where I travelled to Bruges. I went interrailing around Europe.
Oh, wow.
And I ended in Bruges and I fucking did it. Like, it's really spooky. It's got a Freemason-y vibe.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And then I went to go and see the blood, the Christ blood that's been congealed, like in the film, like proper. I loved it. Bit of a spooky vibe. Then I put it on and I was like, I'm not somebody who gets offended very easily, but there are bits of it that I was like, this is off key, about small people, dwarfism, race, I don't know. Like, I just was, I thought it sounded like zingier and smarter, yeah. But then it just was not landing. I didn't feel very nice watching it. I felt like a bad person watching it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes complete sense to me. I remember when I watched the film, it does a thing that I I'm going to say this and you're going to be like, oh, wow, what a great guy. But I mean it, is that where it lost me is there's a scene where he punches a woman in the face in the restaurant and it's meant to be funny. And I'm like, you've lost me. I don't enjoy this.
Yeah.
I now sort of don't like you. And it isn't like, oh, I'm being subversive. It's like, it's just kind of horrible. I remember being like, and also that thing of people laughing in the cinema, and I'd be like, ah, I don't like this.
That was it. All the things that you were meant to be laughing at, you weren't going, oh, isn't that ridiculous? And isn't that, you were meant to like be cheering the person who's doing it or saying it on.
Yeah.
That bit really, that threw me as well, because I sort of didn't remember it from the first time. And then the line about the fat black girl on a swing or something like that, it just was so needless. And then I think it's Brian Gleeson, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Brendan.
There we go. Sorry, Brian.
Sorry, Brian, who doesn't exist.
Sorry, Brian, better name. And then there was a line where he's like, oh, my wife, who's now dead, who we never see, is black. So, and I was just like, oh, okay, so is everything all right? You can say that black joke, but like, he's had a dead black wife that we never meet, so it's okay. I was just like, yeah, but I was really sad. I was really sad that I just, things that can't pass anymore, really.
Well, listen, let's give the film love for sending you into Railing into Bruise itself. It inspired that. So
that was fun.
It did a really amazing thing in your life. It's just a shame. Yeah. And just it's a shame that he enjoys punching women in the face.
It's a shame.
It's a shame.
It was going so well.
You let yourself down with the old punching the woman in the face bit. It's a shame.
It's just a shame.
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity. So I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree, or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term program. That's right. They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre, and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia, and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu. Thanks, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
What is the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is very good, but because of the experience you had around seeing the film that will always make it special to you.
I was in Wandsworth Cineworld with my then boyfriend, Andrew, bless him.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't very many of us in the screen, but there was a group of really fucking annoying kids just making noise. And I was like, we're watching a psychological thriller right now. You're ruining it, pricks. I didn't say that. I was like, excuse me, the whole film, literally beginning to end. Halfway towards the end of the film, they all get up and head downstairs out of the cinema. And this is where my psychic ability kicked in. And I turned to my boyfriend, Andrew, and I was like, we need to get out. And he was like, why? And I was like, we need to leave. In that moment, the kids come back with a bigger kid holding a knife.
What?
And me? Yep. So I grab my man, because that's what I'm about. I grab my man, pull him out. We run all the way around, down the stairs, out of the fire escape, onto the street. What? Now, it may not have been a knife. And looking back, I don't think it was a knife.
Was it a Sprite? Was it a can of Sprite?
It was long, and the light from the cinema screen, I don't know. But looking back, I don't think it was a knife. But in that moment, literally, it was like, you know the TV show That's So Raven, which goes like that?
Yeah.
I had a moment, and I was like, come with me, my son, boyfriend. And just fucking legged it out there. I was, oh, God. And I'm like shaking thinking about it.
I mean, it's possibly a really scary story. Or it's not. It's hard to say.
But memorable.
Memorable for all of us. So in your head, you told them to shut up.
Yeah.
They'd gone to get a bigger kid to come and kill you.
Yeah.
But what might have happened is they went and got a Sprite and came back to sit down. So they weren't like heading towards you with this, what could have been a knife. They're just walking in with a shiny thing.
You know what? I moved so fast, I didn't see what direction they came. All I saw was them walk in like that. I saw a pointy thing and I was like, let's go. I was gone.
What happened to Andrew?
We're not together anymore. Well, yeah. This was in like 2009.
Was Andrew like, we haven't finished a film since we've been together?
This.
So you don't even know what happens at the end of Black Swan?
I don't. No, I've watched it since.
Okay.
But something happened.
That's great. Amazing. What is the film that you most relate to?
The film that I most relate to is Muriel's Wedding.
Speak to me. Go on. Are you relating to Muriel? Horrible friends and family? Muriel.
Yeah. So I love ABBA. I love ABBA so much. I love ABBA so much that I went on a pilgrimage to Stockholm to go to the ABBA Museum. I did that. And it's one of the happiest places I've ever been. Literally, there was like a segment that was like, and you got your headphones and it was like, this is how we wrote Dancing Queen. I was like teary. Because you know Dancing Queen is about death.
I did not know that. Please explain.
It is. There's a whole article about it in The Guardian, so it's real. And it's about, when you listen to it, you're like, oh yeah, party song. It's actually about reflecting and looking at your younger self dancing as you're about to die. It's a reflective song on youth and vigour and beauty in yourself that you didn't feel at the time, but you're looking at it from afar. When you listen to Dancing Queen with that hat on, changes it.
That shit is deep.
Deep. It's deep. So, ABBA. And I've always found ABBA, like, I know they're sort of poppy and stuff, but there's just something about, like, the chords in their music that's quite sad. As a kid, I always found it, like, quite moving. So, when I watch Muriel's Wedding, which is comedy, but there's so many aspects of her life that's just so pathetic. And her being obsessed with ABBA, I was like, that fits. And then I thought, that's me. I don't want to get married. That's not what it is. I couldn't give a fuck about getting married. But I just... Well,
that ruins my next question.
Kill that. But like, there's just something about finding solace in music and being a bit of a loner that I really related to. Then she moves to Sydney and then like gets mad. And then I was like, you lost me.
Mm.
You lost me, babe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really love a loser character. I fucking love losers and weirdos. Oh, they're just so sweet. And weird, yeah.
I love that in your head, if Disneyland didn't have the copyright on The Happiest Place on Earth, the ABBA Museum would take it.
Yeah, it is. Do you know what? This is awful, and I've got footage of this.
Yeah.
So you can go on a stage, and you can pick, I think it's out of, I think it's one of three ABBA songs. I picked Mamma Mia, and you can sing a little bit, and they add a hologram of ABBA with you.
That's cool.
And I've got a video of me singing Mamma Mia with the fucking band.
Please, can we like give that to the Patreons or something?
I have got it.
Yeah.
If you want it, give me a couple of days to think about it.
Okay.
But I might hand that
over. We'll put it in the members clubs, members only.
Okay. Oh, okay. I might you.
What a treat.
It's embarrassing, but I might do it because if the joke's on me, I'm good with that.
I love that. I'd love to see it. It also sounds really cool, you with a hologram, ABBA.
It was amazing. It was so lifelike.
Oh, Susie Wakoma.
Yeah?
What's the sexiest film you ever seen?
This was quite hard.
Was it?
Yeah, it's quite hard.
Because to narrow it down? or
yeah, to narrow it down. Because I find all sorts of things sexy. Funny people, a nice curl of the hair, turn of phrase.
Delicious.
And then like tits or like a willy. I'm like, less to narrow it down. I've really found Ghostbusters sexy because of Bill Murray.
Okay.
And I was really young when I watched Ghostbusters, so I didn't really understand what was going on. But I just knew that I wanted to rub something. I don't know.
Right.
So there's Ghostbusters. But then I went to, so that was as I was a kid, but then I went to the cinema and I did watch Blue is the Warmest Colour. Ah, I did.
Yes.
With a mate of mine, a lady, a lid. And the sex scene, the very long... The
45-minute sex scene.
45-minute sex scene with no kind of, like, music. It's just them breathing and panting. And the sex is, it's whack. If you're a woman who's had sex with a woman, we know that that's not really what happens. Nonetheless, it's two naked women really going for it. And I just remember my knee being so close to my mate Carla, so close. And that just happening. And just, you know, the flat, you can see like the flashes of flesh on our faces in this very like empty curtain. And
I mean, I'm pausing is because I've seen that film and I love that film.
I love that film.
But that film is troubled in a way that makes me sad.
Oh.
And I also don't know what I meant to think about it because you're right. It's very, very fit. That's a fit film.
It's because they're beautiful. They're beautiful. They've got lovely, socially, you know, accepted and celebrated bodies, all of that sort of thing. These are all things that I had issues with when I left. I was like, okay, why are all the lesbians like, you know, really slim? Why are they all like fucking models? Also, that's not what happens. All of that. Like, that's not, what's that? Like, what are they doing? He doesn't know. Then you have a little Google and you're like, oh no, he really didn't, because that seemed like torture when they were filming it.
Yeah.
Because it took how many days?
I'm half joking, but it is about 45 minutes, isn't it?
It is about 45 minutes long. Yeah. And you just think.
It took a while.
Yeah, it's awful. Like, it was all awful. The ethics behind it is like fucked up. However, that was my reaction.
However, cracking result. What? What is? I mean, and also, it's really difficult, that film, because I'm really sad when you read, like, that they were uncomfortable, and because they're so natural in it, the both of them, it's like unbelievable performances where you, and I wonder if that's the sort of sad part of it, is that to get those performances, he was intrusive or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it's like, they feel so real. And
yeah. But I always feel with that, you get performers and performances which don't require that. Like, I think, you know, she's everybody's favourite, but Olivia Colman can really fucking go there, but she does not bring shit to it. Like, do you know what I mean? She can just do it and then go home. Yeah. And I don't...
You don't have to traumatise her to get the performance out of it, yeah.
I've met actors who are like, you know, I've got to be... I'm acting troubled all the time, so that when I play a troubled person, it's all cushy. I'm like, that is no imagination. And so I think that any director that feels that they have to impose that doesn't trust their actors and has no imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a subcategory to this question, which that answer could also fit in, but luckily I hope you got another one. Troubling boners, worrying wide-ons. What film did you find arousing, but you thought perhaps you shouldn't, other than Blue is the Warmest Colour?
Showgirls.
What is remotely troubling about Showgirls?
It's terrible.
Sure.
It's so bad. Like, you should not be getting any kind of joy, even if it's a wide on, from that fucking film, because it's so terrible. And yet, I was having that sex scene in the swimming pool, which is terrible.
Please.
It defies logic. And then there I was watching it, having a jolly good time in my pants.
Me too. And I don't mind. Listen, when I first saw Showgirls, which was when it first came out, and I was very young, I remember reading all these things going, this ridiculous sex scene in the swimming pool. And I was thinking, fucking worked for me. I just remember thinking, what's so ridiculous about it? It's brilliant. What's happening? What am I not getting?
Do you know what? I was very young when I watched it. I think it was on Channel 5. And I just sort of put it on and I was like, oh my God. And when I watched that scene, I thought, that's what sex is like.
Yeah.
And I started to worry because I was like, I don't know whether my back, and this is me as a child. This is what I mean about Capricorns. Like, we're old as children. I'm like, I don't know whether my back can
flip
that far.
Yeah.
And I just thought he was just holding. I mean, he was, because they weren't actually having sex, but I didn't get, she was so high up.
Mm.
Like, if she was really there, like, if he was really inside,
yeah,
she'd be much lower.
Now you say that, I go, okay, that part, unless he's got a very big dick and she's just on
that
the
tip. Curb, that can do that.
But I will say this, now I'm much older and grown up, that is how sex works.
Is it?
Yeah, I don't know what you mean, like, we're worried about it. That's certainly, in my experience, exactly how it is. What is objectively the greatest film of all time?
All About Eve.
Great answer.
100%. Completely.
The original?
The original. The thing I love about it is, look, so when I first started writing, one of the I was given so much advice from people.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little nugget of advice all the time. And I take it because I like advice. But the thing that I was always told was, don't write about show business. Like, people don't like watching it. People don't like, they don't like watching it. Right. And when I watched All About Eve for the first time, which is before I got that nugget, because when I got that nugget, I was like, I think All About Eve is a masterpiece.
Mm.
It is the way it talks about the industry and acting and all of that stuff. It makes you invested. You care. The performances are of their time, but they're razor sharp. And the scenes just, what I loved about it was the scenes, they didn't worry about sort of just letting the scene play. You can tell it's based on the play, but they don't care about that. It's just two actors. That's it. Nice set, nice costumes. Two actors fucking going for each other. Bette Davis, mm-hmm. Marilyn Monroe in one of her early fucking parts in there, being exquisite, comedic timing, like, wow. It's so good. And Anne Baxter, I think it is, who plays Eve. Just like the best manipulative narcissist you've ever seen in the best costumes.
I'm sure this has come up before, but it is worth saying, given what just happened. Showgirls is a remake of All About Eve.
That would make sense.
It's straight up. It's the same story. It's just done better. Just told better in Showgirls.
And burlesque.
Yeah.
Burlesque is, it's the small town girl who wants to be the front of the chorus line. There's always like some older woman, although Cher doesn't really mind. But there's another one in it who's like, this is my patch. Yeah. It's great. It's a great Hollywood trope.
That's a lovely answer, that is. What's the film you could or have watched the most over and over again?
Mary Poppins. I know.
What?
Yeah.
You know it's an absolute masterpiece and I'm going to have a zero problem with that being your answer. Yeah.
I just love it. Loads of people must say it, but it just is.
No, they don't say it enough, actually.
Okay. Well, Mary Poppins. One of the things that I really love about it is it makes me as a Londoner really, I don't know. I live in London, I'm born in London, but there's just something about watching it that makes me feel like, you know, I'm a fucking Londoner.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. And like, where every time I was just at St. Paul's, I don't go past St. Paul's without thinking of Feed the Birds, like never.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just something about it being so London, but also filmed in a studio, that just I really, really, really love. And I think Julie Andrews, if you watch that back, her performance is fucking brilliant. She's Mary Poppins is a bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
She's evil. Like, the kids are like, hey, Mary Poppins, we just went inside the paint. She's like, no, we didn't. That's called gaslighting. Like, the fuck? When you watch it now, I'm like, that is, she's just, oh, let's go and do this, kids. And they're like, oh, we had such a lovely time with you. And then she's like, no, you didn't. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. There's your dad. Goodbye. And then flies off.
Yeah. Never apologize, never explain.
That is messed up.
That's a bad motto. Bad motto for life. Never apologize, never explain. That's toxic masculinity.
It's so, it's mad. Like, I feel for those kids.
Yeah.
They go through such psychological warfare. Just, you know, dad's not interested. Mum is like, you know, up the women, fine. But you get this woman who's like, oh, here's a nice bit of life. No, it didn't happen. Oh, here's a nice song. It didn't happen.
What a fucking nightmare. So, yeah, scary Mary Poppins. It. We don't like to be negative, so we'll be quick with this.
Okay.
What's the worst film you ever saw?
A film? Oh, I mean, there's a few. It's a film called Feed.
Feed, yes.
2011. Mm-hmm. And it is, for me and my mates for a short time were obsessed with sploshing. Do you know what sploshing is?
Go on. Explain it to the... Is it stepping on hamsters or something?
No.
Oh, right.
What the fuck?
Is it...
You get one more guess.
Is it sliming people like in Nickelodeon?
Close.
But
close.
In a sexy way.
Yeah. It's like food sex. It's like...
Oh, okay.
Bleh, cake. And you put it up the vagina, then you eat it out like that.
Wow.
Yeah. That's... didn't mean to say that. That was very graphic. So we were obsessed with sploshing. My group of friends, we'd all had breakups. It was 2011. We were all going through stuff and we sort of came together and we're like, sploshing's funny. And so we wanted to find a film that was to do with sploshing. And so my friend Zach, he was like, hey, I've just found this film on iTunes. It's called Feed. It must be to do with sploshing. And so we had a film night when we watched it. And it was about this guy, this cop, who is investigating this internet subculture of feeding women until they die. And it was just about this man who was like running around feeding this woman with as much food. It was fucking terrible. Like, not even, we thought, ha, 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 it'll be funny. Yeah. And we were just watching it like.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I'm mainly worried about how much cake is going to be left in the vagina. Because I think if you put a cake in, it's going to, it's going to crumble into bits. I'm so worried about the health implications of a cake. Bits of cake not getting out.
It will fuck up your pH balance. Then you have to weigh up whether it's worth it. Think about it.
Somebody, it's going to dissolve, I suppose, eventually.
It will dissolve eventually. That's why you need somebody who's really committed and getting all the cake out.
Right. Because you could be there a while. Are they allowed to use a spoon?
I would think you could use utensils.
Right.
I'd get like a whisk to sort of break it up.
That doesn't feel... That feels... I worry about a whisk. I don't know. A plastic spoon.
Spoon?
No, then that'll break off and be stuck.
But a whisk has like the... I think you could... If you use it with care.
Okay.
And also the cake is going to be... It's going to be like moisture. Wow.
It's going to... Well, yeah. If it's a well-made cake, it's definitely going to...
If it's a well-made cake, it's going to be wet. Wet ass.
Yeah. Okay. I guess you just got to make sure you've dealt with it afterwards. And
you know what? You don't have to put cake. It was just an example. You can put jelly on the arm.
No, listen, I've got my evening planned out now. I just need to make sure I do it right and don't cause any injuries.
Don't have to put cake up the foof. It's fine.
You don't have to, but it will be encouraged.
You don't have to, but it'll be a shame.
Not to. What is, you're in comedy, you're very funny. What's the funniest film? What's the film that made you laugh the most?
Okay, I cannot possibly tell you the film that made me laugh the most, but I can tell you the scene that got me kicked out of Odeon Tottenham Court Road because I laughed so hard.
Go.
Juno, I know.
Love that film.
It's a great film, but you wouldn't think, where's that bit?
What's that funny scene?
So there's this bit when Juno.
Oh, Ellen Page.
Thanks, mate.
Welcome.
So she's in the corridor of a school and she's talking to Michael Cera and she says something about a girl in her class who gave her the stink eye. She just goes, so-and-so gave me the stink eye. And it's the quickest cut to this actress who I don't know, who's given Juno a stink eye. And me and my mate Ivano looked at each other and that was it. Gone. That it's just an example of how you can be, you're not even a star in it, you've got no line. You just give it that piece. And we lost it. Next couple of scenes, we were still laughing. Usher came in and was like, you have to leave. We went out onto the road, we were screaming. Like, we can't talk about it. To this day, we can't talk about it. He wasn't thinking, we're like, boom, done.
I like that. That is a proper answer. That is the answer I've been looking for.
Good.
Susie Wakoma, you've been absolutely wonderful. Now, when you went to Latitude last year and you had glitter all over your face and you went to watch Texas on stage, when you were lost in the wonder of Charlie Spiteri's voice as she sang, what's the song that Texas did?
It was the one that I was really like, yeah. It was, yeah, Yeah, you make me feel wild. Yeah, yeah, you touch my inner smile. Yeah, yeah, you got me in the mood. Ooh, ooh, come on, make your move.
So whilst you were singing Come and Make Your Move, you were dazed, you were lost, transcendent it was to you, and you were sweating with the joy, and the glitter came into your mouth, sweated off your face into your mouth, and you said, oh, something that tastes like chalk, delicious. And you finished your evening, a great old night, and then you went back to your tent, and you lay there, and in your sleep, the glitter congealed in your throat and choked you to death. It was sad, but the saddest part was no one found you. No one thought anything of it for quite a while. It was just a tent, You closed the thing. Everyone was like, well, she's probably sleeping. About 3 months later, I was like, did Susie ever come back from Latitude? It's weird that no one heard from her for a while. So I drive all the way back up to Latitude.
Yeah.
There's a tent on its own in the field. It's weird. It's a fucking state. I go in the tent. You're there. You've congealed with the ground has swallowed half of you. There's a bird has pecked open your insides and built a nest. Oh. It's all sorts of going on.
Oh, that's quite nice.
It's sweet, but difficult to contend with. So then I have to sit, vigil, let the birds all leave. And then a hamster walks past and I just stood on it just for a bit of a splash. And then you... there's too much of you. There was more than I expected because you've become the earth. So I've had to get a deer. Anyway, long story short, I've had to chop you up into lots of little bits because I brought a coffin that was the size of you. I wouldn't expect all this. Stuff all of you in this coffin. It's absolutely rammed in there, but there's just enough room that I could slip one DVD in the side with you. You can take to the other side. And on the other side, it's movie night every night. And one night, it's your movie night. What film are you taking to show everyone in heaven?
Oh, what movie are we taking to heaven? I'm taking Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
The people in heaven will love you. No wonder your vibration is so high. Susie, Suzanne, Wacoma. Is there anything you would like to tell people to look out for, to listen to, or to watch, or to read, or anything of yours coming up before we say goodbye?
Before we say goodbye, I'm in a film called Enola Holmes, which is on Netflix right now.
I hear very good things about that.
Yeah, so she's in that. And then I'm in another show called Truth Seekers on Amazon on the 30th of October. That's a series.
Looks brilliant. Jim Field Smith. Have him.
Yeah, those two. And then there's loads of stuff that's still on Netflix because that's the way, isn't it?
That's just, the way.
If you Google my name, if you put my name in Netflix, you're
hours. Oh, I like that.
Hours of fun.
Susie Wacoma, you've been an absolute dream and delight. Thank you so much.
Thanks, mate.
Have a wonderful death. Good night.
Good night.
So that was a Rewind classic. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Everything you need is over at the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. Remember to watch Shrinking and then Ted Lasso on Apple TV Plus. I will speak to you all next week. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to Acast for hosting it. Thanks to Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Lisa Lydon for the photography. Adam Richardson for the graphics. So that is it for now. I hope you're all well. And in the meantime, have a lovely week. And please, now more than ever, be excellent to each other. Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops,
BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett.
Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work. Oh, thanks, my neighbour Maureen. Yeah, thank you.